will now come to order. Thank you everybody for coming. And I will quickly go through the agenda and then we will get started. The agenda currently is call to order and introductions, then announcement concerning public comment and meeting recordings, lunch arrangements and other logistics, then the executive director's evaluation, minutes of the February 24th meeting, break, focus topic, how the Rehab Act impacts the blind, public comment, report from the chair, public comment, report from the executive director, public comment, break for lunch, old business, budget update, the website update, Friends of the Commission update, NIS update, NFB Newsline update, status of Braille and accessibility of vending machines, client assistance program complaints or issues, public comment, break, new business, state plan for independent living, statewide needs assessment, RSA monitoring review, eForce new data system, legislation, goals for the NCBVI executive director, for the state fiscal year 2008, staff survey results, focus topics for next meetings, and then
change the calendar till Sunday.
Until Sunday morning.
And then public comment, final announcements, and adjourn. So that is the agenda as it now stands. And provided there's nothing else to add to the agenda, we will proceed. Okay, the introductions are the next thing on the agenda. I'm Barbara Lose, Chairman of the Board of Commissioners.
Daryl Wallow, one of the commission board members.
Nancy Altman, one of the board members.
Bill Arrester, board member.
Bob Burns, board member.
Pearl Van Zandt, executive director.
Hubert Paulson.
Bob.
Oh, Bob, you've been a director. Independent Living Services Deputy Director.
Carlos Servan, Deputy Director for Voc Rehab Services, Lincoln.
Brad Lowe's. If you notice, I have the same last name as the chairman up there. That's because I'm her husband. I'm just a member of the community.
Patoche Floyd, Chairman of the Orientation Center Director.
Jamie Corbis, I'm the new orientation counselor in North Platte, so currently Lincoln, soon to be North Platte.
And lastly, Val?
And Val Peary, administrative assistant.
At the moment, that is everyone.
Okay. Welcome, everyone. Now, do we have, public comments, as you could tell from the reading of the agenda, are interspersed throughout the agenda. The rest of the time, we appreciate having comments be just for the board, unless we make an exception, and we do that from time to time. If you need to leave early or something and you didn't have a chance to make a public comment, and you want to do that, then please get my attention out loud. Raising your hand won't get my attention. and then we can do that, because we don't ever want to miss anybody's comments, but we are trying to streamline the meetings and that kind of thing. So we now have we've stated it as meetings being recorded, because tapes are not really the thing these days, so we're kind of in a state of transition as to exactly how the meetings will be happening, but they are kept in some kind of electronic form. And that's what we're doing, and people can access those by getting a hold of the commission and requesting to have a copy until such time that we can get them out there. Are there any comments about lunch arrangements or logistics?
Lunch is going to be delivered from Godfather's Pizza, and there's salad. The one thing, there's two salad dressings. There's ranch and Italian. The Italian does not have the little hole in the top, and so it's just pours out. So I wanted everyone to know that. It's left over from the friends and family, so we put it from a gallon container into a bottle that didn't have the little... So just so everyone's aware of that. Otherwise, they're going to have a little salad dressing with their salad.
Important announcement.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Anything else?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
May I shut the door?
Sure.
Oh, I'll be glad to. Here.
Okay, if there are no other logistical comments, we'll move to the executive director's evaluation. We have, up until last year, we did this in a conference call meeting, but we found out that really wasn't what we were supposed to do anymore. The public meeting laws changed. And by the way, do we have a copy of the public meeting law in here somewhere?
Yes, in print and braille at the front table, the first table that the public are sitting at.
Okay. So if anyone wants to look at that, it's available. That's one of the requirements that now exists. And so we do have that happen at all of our meetings now. And we also have a different procedure for doing the evaluation, and I'm currently looking for it. Here it is. Okay. The first step in doing the evaluation is the public meeting notice, which, of course, went out before our meeting. And then at the meeting, we do the evaluation, we do a review of performance, and then after that there is to be a motion and a second and passage of the motion with specifics of salary action, including dates and amounts or percentages. And then that goes into the minutes of the meeting that are published, and then the minutes are sent to the appropriate staff at NCBBI, which at this point would be Bill Brown and Dave Robinson. And then Dave Robinson sets up the new pay rate in NIS and that kind of thing. And so that is what we do now as far as our method of doing the evaluation. We have had for several years a specific evaluation form that we use, and so what we will do is go through that, and then if there are any other things that we need to do as far as decisions or that kind of thing, we can work that out as we go through. As probably quite a few of you are aware, we do have five duties that we rate Dr. Van Zandt on. And what we have done for the most part throughout the time that we've been doing the evaluation is to go through those and, you know, make decisions about how we feel that she has been performing on those duties. As a part of what we do as commissioners, since we're not at the commission from on a daily basis, we do ask for feedback from staff. And we ask for feedback both on the duties that we specifically evaluate on, and also we do a staff survey from which we get an idea of the pulse of the agency. And that has been very helpful to us. We've modified it a couple times, and we try to not get in a rut on what we're doing, but it is useful to get the same kinds of information each year so that we know what it is that staff feels about how Dr. Van Zandt is doing and about how the agency is really functioning overall. So without any further rambling, we can move right into the evaluation. At the top of our form, it lists who we are as the board and the date and where we are when we do the evaluation. And it says that we reviewed evaluations and surveys submitted by NCVBI staff, as well as our own personal observations. The rating is done in accordance with the following scale and with consideration of the following duties. The rating scale is 5, outstanding, 4, above average, 3, satisfactory, 2, needs improvement, 1, unacceptable. And the duties are believing that it is respectable to be blind, listening and responding to concerns from staff and consumers alike, identifying priorities and seeing them through, negotiating creatively to hire quality staff and fund exemplary service delivery, and dreaming progressive steps toward true equality for the blind. We also ask Dr. Van Zandt every year to present us with her goals for the year and objectives toward reaching those goals. And one of the things that we do on the evaluation is to to list the objectives for the year, and then to say something about how they are being met or have been met. This year, she identified the objectives, and you know, remember we're talking about the 06-07 year. The objectives were focus efforts for improvement on specific parts of standards and indicators, plan staff training and philosophy discussions around quality employment issues to increase competitive, self-supporting positions with benefits and potential for advancement. The second one, improve ability to work effectively with blind children in schools through participation in facilitated protocol sessions with educational entities. Provide staff training on approaches for better communication and coordination with teachers and parents. The third one, fully implement technology grants to make devices available for demonstration and loan to wider range of consumers and with a wider range of equipment. The fourth one, educate senators and other policymakers about the importance of our work, the need to continue matching federal funds, and to assure maintenance of effort stability. The fifth one, monitor expenditures and fund balances to keep within the budget, but to keep service provision at a level that supports quality employment and independent living outcomes for clients. In operations, monitor workload activity and area needs to determine if staffing levels are adequate. Sixth one, explore the possibility of specific state funding for services to older blind Nebraskans. The seventh one, support staff to continue working creatively with limited resources. When there are additional short-term funds available, give staff opportunity to develop specific initiatives that will support the work they are doing. And the eighth one, work with administrators, supervisors, and staff to maintain good communication and teamwork efforts. One of the things that that I did, which the board can decide whether it wants to include or not, or add to or whatever, was to potentially say, Dr. Van Zandt has kept the board apprised of progress in all of these areas. Objective one has been met by, among other things, contracting with Dr. Fred Schroeder to provide feedback and assistance in the area of job placement. Objective two is being met in part by Dr. Van Zandt's participation in the stakeholders group for the Nebraska Center for the Education of Children Who Are Blind or Visually Impaired, NCECBVI. Objective three is being met through implementation of the grant from the Assistive Technology Partnership. Objective four received specific attention beyond budget and other testimony through such avenues as development of a one-page synopsis about NCBVI, which has been distributed to policymakers, through invitations to senators and other officials to tour the orientation center, and through initiation of having center student articles upon completion of training sent to their senators. Objectives 5, 6, and 7 are being met in part through initiation of a statewide needs assessment, support of legislation for funding for services to blind seniors, and consideration of varying approaches to group teaching in metropolitan and rural communities throughout Nebraska. Objective 8 was met in part through a joint staff meeting with the Iowa Department for the Blind. In an evaluation form, you know, to be, you know, to list everything that goes on or that has been initiated or whatever seems unnecessary, but I think that it's good for us to point out some of the things that are happening. I don't know whether you want to, you know, accept that as part of what we put in the evaluation, or if you want to change it, or if you...
I think it should be made part of our evaluation.
Yeah, I do too.
I'd go along with that.
Sure. Okay, so by consensus, you know, we will do that. You know, at this point, I think we can, if you're ready to do that, we can go through the specific duties and, you know, and discuss the ratings that we want to assign to those. So the first one is believing that it is respectable to be blind. Thoughts?
Well, actually, I went through and considered all of the evaluations we received, and I came out of the overall without my evaluation is 4.9, which if I put my evaluation in, that'd be a 5. You can't get much better than that. Mm-hmm. And I think her very position supports her in this.
I have to agree with that.
I have to triple the agreement. I don't see anything that would suggest otherwise, you know, as to this particular piece of information for evaluation.
Yeah, I'd add my vote to the consensus. And
so the consensus is with 4.9, is that what you're...
I would go with 5.
I put a 5 with my evaluation, my opinion.
I would too.
I read that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Because a part of, you know, is our mm-hmm. observations as part
right.
of that.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. I think when you add that in, it's definitely a 5.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe a 4.99 because no one can ever be perfect.
Where is she left to go for next year?
That's right. That's true, really.
Okay, so last
she could come to the meeting wearing sleep shades.
Now, last year it was a 4.8, so this year we're saying we're going with 5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have no problem with that. Mm-hmm.
I do use sleep shades and a cane around the office, walking around and going to get coffee and things like that. But my braille's not good enough to do a meeting with it, though.
Oh, but that put you down a little bit there.
I have to drop you now.
Okay, on the second duty, the listening to consumers and staff.
I did the same thing on this. I got a 4.3 from the evaluations. And I think I'd be inclined to, by my evaluation, 4.5.
Okay.
What was last year's?
Last year's was 4.3.
I guess
my only thought on it is, you know, I don't know which one, you know, the 21 questions, how that all fits. If we get, I don't know. I mean, it seemed to me like there was a little bit of concern raised by some staff members that maybe this was down a little bit. I mean, it's, you know, it's certainly there were plenty that didn't, but it just seemed like there was.
Well, they were.
But you know, based on last year,
4.3 is not bad.
No, and I would, you know, just going along with that. You know, just from the staff standpoint, I don't think it would be higher than last year. Of course, we're free to do whatever, but it seemed to me like there was a little undercurrent that there was some people a little less pleased with that than last year, but not dramatic, but just a little less. So I would say, and again, these are, I guess just space to, you know, to give the staff input some weight, I would say, you know, no higher than last year and maybe 4.25, just to maybe it's a point to be looked at for next year.
I'd agree with that.
I could handle that.
I think that all sounds reasonable. The only comment that I would make is that you know, we last year had some budget restrictions and so forth, and there were some people laid off and all this kind of things. I think sometimes, obviously, they didn't have input into the staff survey, but by the same token, I think sometimes, you know, personalities being what they are, that there are sometimes that kind of things and frustration and so forth, but I really don't. You know, I don't have a problem with, you know, the 4.25. I think that's still, you
or
know,
even 4.2. I mean, you know, 4.25, 4.2. I mean, 4 is still
it's still above average, and you know, obviously, that's a very good position to be in, above average.
It's more so. Just a point to maybe think about it a little more than last year because there was a little bit of concern and
right. Yeah, and I think, you know, it's good for us to, you know, that's one of the reasons we do the surveys is to hear input from people. So, yeah, I'd go along with that, 4.2.
I would have no problem with that. Just to echo your comment, you know, being in the education profession, I've had a lot of occurrences when we've, you know, done these evaluations of some sort, and sometimes you know, if you have a particularly bad day, you might be more inclined to evaluate somebody down. But by the same token, you want to take it, you know, seriously, and you know, obviously a handful, you know, some people had some concerns. The majority seemed to be okay with things. So, you know, I think 4.2 is pretty reflective of, you know, where we're going. This, and it's too bad that you can't be just, you know, I know this is supposed to be just totally objective, and that's why it was designed like this. But.
Exactly. But I mean, you know, let's face it, everybody has things in their life that, you know, makes it so that you cannot. I don't believe that there is anybody that can be totally objective with anything.
Especially when you're dealing with people.
I honestly believe that. You know, there's some, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And as I said, frustrations and, and, you know, being short on staff and this kind of thing can make a difference.
Well, the staff was concerned, but I think the director was concerned, too.
Exactly, so exactly.
Yeah, so. Same concerns.
Pearl has the headaches, too.
She's the one that has to call the signals. But I belong with two.
Yeah,
4.2.
Okay, that sounds like consensus. Okay, and then the duty three is identifying priorities and seeing them through.
I got out of that 4.2. The staff evaluation.
What was last year's?
4.1.
So it sounds like we're headed, the staff thinks she's headed in the right direction because it's up from last year.
You know, based on the information that Pearl gives back to us, I feel that she, you know, is, you know, making efforts in all of these areas. And
I do, too. And sometimes it takes a longer period of time to see those objectives through. I mean, this is, you know, it isn't going to happen overnight.
So I like somewhere in the area of 4.3, I guess, for
that.
Mm-hmm. I'd agree with that.
Bob?
I was deciding how to formulate my response. You know, again, the you know, trying to fit the 21 questions into the BLIND is not a perfect science, but it seemed to me like I would kind of the L and I were, you know, kind of the same. My thought is kind of the same, that there was some concern, you know, that again, trying to translate the 21 into which one it totally fits in. But it seems like that was an area, too, that, you know, in setting priorities, I mean, you know, certain people, I guess, have different thoughts. And one of our previous year's concerns, I guess, was, you know, to, in all these decisions, I mean, you know, just decisiveness. I mean, you know, sometimes you just got to pick a direction and go, and everybody's got to, you know, at some point you just got to go with something, and instead of just kind of being wishy-washy in the middle. So whenever you set off on a direction, some people are going to be not as pleased, I guess, as, you know, the direction that you've gone on. But I would, I don't know, it the 4-1 last year, to me, I would think that again would be something that the staff has indicated a little bit of concern with that, and so I don't know if I could want to give a higher grade than last year, so I guess my thought would be to go with the 4-1 last year, and that it's still something to be, you know, to be looked at. That's just, you know, trying to put the 21 answers to the 21 questions into the BLIND format.
Some of these answers, when they, you know, they go down to through the 21 and the 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, that just doesn't require a great deal of thought on those. So I tend to discount those.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, I think though, I hear what you're saying, Bob, as far as the, you know, the whole thing of, I think that there have been times, and that's one of the things that sparked our request for having goals and having specific objectives, because there is so much that anyone could do,
and mm-hmm. one might even argue should do in order to make things work the way they need to, mm-hmm. that it does take more than responding, you know, either reacting to or responding to the things that come up all the time, to set a direction. And that, you know, I think it has made a difference. It certainly has to me, as far as when I look back over the year and what's happening as it relates to the specific expectations that she has set for herself and the agency, it does then cause me to think too about, okay, what exactly are we doing and what direction is the agency going in? And I think this one is one where it can be hard to determine, because, like, you know, that there mm-hmm. is so much to do and so much going mm-hmm. on, but everyone looks to the executive director to say, yes, we're going this way, no, we're not going that way. And I think too that this is one of the areas where I think it's crucial for somebody to, you know, to do that. It is a hard thing to do. You know, I myself have some difficulty doing that sometimes. I sometimes tend to respond to whatever is right there mm-hmm. rather than step back and say, okay, but that doesn't have anything to do with what our biggest goals are right now. So good as it is, it doesn't fit right now or whatever. So I would be inclined to, you know, to not move up on that one. I think it is something that is an area for, I think it's done, I'm not saying it isn't done well at all, but I think it is one where there is certainly room for continued diligence, I guess is what I would say.
I guess I would have to respectfully disagree. I mean, I see that, you know, I really see growth in this. I mean, we're always getting communications as to, you know, what the priorities are and what the initiatives are. And, you know, I just feel, you know, there, even if we, you know, give a little bit of improvement, you know, I think, I don't know, and I'm new to this process, so forgive me, but, you know, never in a day do I go through a school year day as a teacher without hearing a negative comment from another teacher about an administrator. And, you know, yet they're still there. So obviously the evaluations reflect, you know, not always what, you know, they're, you know, maybe they're just feeling frustrated or something. You know, most of the comments and or the evaluations in this area were, you know, still good. And I guess I feel that, you know, to go up a per tenth of a point, you know, would still be appropriate, especially given the times that we're dealing with. And, you know, there's a lot of decisions that have to be made.
I
do take the staff, I'm sorry, seriously, I you know, I think there's other things we have to consider too.
Looking at the last year and this year's, some of the same complaints have been raised by some of the people, mm-hmm. and under those circumstances, the complaints still exist and have
okay.
been rectified. So. It's not by everybody. Not everybody's complained. But there are
right.
few that they were there last year and they were here this year. So I had to take those into consideration.
So the compilation was 4-3 in the average. In all the
4-2
last year,
or last this year? This year 4-1.
This year was 4-2.
So, what, I guess...
So what's your pleasure?
Well, I guess the point is, I mean, the point we're making is it better than last year, or is it still, there's enough concern that we should, you know, keep it even to last year, or downgrade it from last year? I don't think it's worse than last year, but it seems like there's still enough thought that it's needs improvement. It's, well, not so much needs, you know, maybe a little bit needs improvement, that, you know, to keep it the same as last year. But that's just, you know, my imperfect science trying to translate the 21 and then give that some credence. But I mean, the difference from 4.1, 4.2 is mostly just are we saying it's better than last year, or are we saying it's, you know, still something that needs to be a concern just like last year?
I could live with 4.1, I guess, because we're not going down.
I'd do well with that, yeah.
Yeah, and I, you know, if you think about being above 4, that's still, you know, it's not 5 and outstanding, but it's, you know, above average again, so... I guess I could live with 4.1. I tend to agree with Daryl. I really tend to think it's higher than that, but I would go along with 4.1.
Yeah. That'll work.
Okay, well, that sounds like consensus to me, so we'll go with that. The fourth one is negotiating about hiring and funding.
I came out with a 4.1 on that one for this year.
And how does that compare?
That's where we were last year as well. And does anyone have any?
They seem to kind of tie together. I could live with 4.1.
Well, certainly, you know, the budgetary effort was, I mean, certainly it was a team effort, but, you know, that, I mean, it was certainly in a better position this year than we were last year as far as the budgetary process. To me, it seems like there's been improvement on that front. You know, to 4.2, I mean, just to reflect that there's been an improvement. You know, just, I mean, the obvious, I mean, that's, there are some definite things you can point to. So my thought would be that's, you know, up a tick or two ticks, but it seems like there's that's something that's been an improvement this year.
Well, staff-wise, I mean, there has been some, you know, some turnover, some, you know, some of that, which is an understandable thing anywhere. You know, I don't know that necessarily reflects on, you know, anything concerning the executive director. I mean, we haven't gone without, I mean, the effort to get new people, and, you know, when there is a turnover situation, is, you know, seems like it's done in a timely way. I mean, it's not like people, well, we'll get to that, you know, someday or whatever.
Well, I think changing the job description of the department manager was, you know, something, you know, probably long overdue, but, you know, it happened last year, and it, you know, I think that was good, a good thing.
I'm not sure about that. I mean, and we did, I mean, that person is now gone. I mean, we are having turnover.
It just shows maybe that's just a hopeless situation.
Well, or it's a difficult...
But it was, you know, a change from the status quo. I mean, it was...
Right.
It didn't just, you know, there was a effort to try and improve that, and, you know, it's not always... Just because you try something new doesn't mean it's always going to work, but at least it was you know, the end, the whole, you know, negotiating. I mean, there's been movements off status quo. That you know, not always every solution is going to work perfectly, but at least there's.
This is one I don't feel terribly strongly, you know, either way. I mean, I don't want to go down with it, but, you know, I'm flexible on this one.
Well, I guess our point is, do we want to say it's keeping it, it's about the same, or that's, you know, that it's been improved? My thought would be that it's maybe improved to 4-2.
I think it's pretty much the same, actually, but I wouldn't be disappointed with it. 4.2. Not by any means.
So that's the left side of the table. What is the middle and right side?
Again, we're kind of putting subjectivity. I'm gonna stick with 4.1. I guess, or what was it?
Yeah, 4.1.
Yeah, let's be like the umpire calling the consistent strikes and kind of stay with what we.
Well, I really have difficulty with this one. I don't feel like we need to drop any, obviously, but I don't know. I guess I think that it should stay at 4.1.
That's what I'd do.
I know some new ideas have come in and stuff. Let's give them some time to. To work, I guess. I guess I would go with 4.1.
Okay, so do we have a?
I would say 4.1.
I was going to say, Barb, you would sway because Bill was kind of a bit between, and so your if you went 4.2, then it was kind of would have tipped the scales, but but now you. Donald and now Bill.
See, I knew it was all Barb's fault.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Okay, and so the last duty is.
Excuse me, this is Val.
Yes.
So the consensus is
4.1.
Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry. I didn't.
Oh, okay.
I didn't make that last.
That's fine.
Statement.
Right.
Sorry. Okay, so duty 5, dreaming progressive steps toward. True equality for the blind.
And I have an average of 4.1 for this year's evaluations.
And that is, in fact, what last year was. And again, you know, I think, you know, this year the. I think that the reaching beyond. With the Iowa department, with the, you know, trying again new things with employment possibilities. Those kinds of things are, that's what I think of in terms of the dreaming progressive steps, you know, doing something to make a difference. And so... You know, on this one, I think that the reaching beyond and you know, a lot of the networking kinds of things that have been underway that, you know, certainly she has participated in. You know, I would say that this one is certainly wouldn't be going down, in my opinion. I think it, mm-hmm. it could possibly go up a step.
Mm-hmm.
I would think so. I mean, you know, the N is kind of my same thinking with the N that, you know, we decided to stay with last year. But I mean, I think, you know, that if we didn't up it on N, then I think that on D that I think the movement, some movement to would be to, you know, 4.2 or even 4.3, because you know the things that you mentioned and the things initially when You mentioned some of the things put on the record that, you know, going along with your goals and objectives that that have been done. I think, you know, some things are afoot that are good, and I would raise this one, whether it goes 4-2 or 4-3, but I think to me it should reflect some movement.
I think so too. I have to agree with that totally. I think very appropriate to move that one up more.
I'd have to agree, you know, on a lot of, you know, solely the Nebraska-Iowa meeting, as little as I was able to attend, though, was very much a success, I thought, and, you know, very innovative, and so I could live with any increase you want.
Yeah, I think the networking thing has been a very good thing for the commission. In several different ways. You know, harking back to, I don't remember now, was it 2 years ago that Bob and Barb and I went to Kansas City to that, I'm not sure what they called it, but to me that was very, very good. I mean, it was a very good thing. And I mean, everybody in that room was, you know, there to learn and to get new ideas, and I thought that was a very good networking kind of an idea. So, I have to agree that this, I think we need to move up on this one. I'll let it to the gentleman to decide how much.
It was 4-1 last year, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I'd say 2-4-2.
Sounds good to me.
Okay, I can live with that.
Shows movement, positive movement.
Yes. Yes, I'm glad we're doing that. Okay. There are two other things. That is consensus then for 4-2.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So there are two other things we need to do. One is I also had, as we have done in the past, on the other comments and observations section, a composite of encouraging comments from staff. And this year, what we could put, if this is what, you know, something that you guys agree to, Pearl is a great person with a great background of working directly with clients in this field. The goals are client-directed, and clients' services take priority, number one. Pearl is a good person and tries to be fair to her supervisors at all times. Pearl is very loyal to her supervisory staff. Pearl is very fair to the clients and gives our clients the benefit of the doubt. Pearl makes sure the business side of the operation is always in good order, good at budgeting. Pearl puts the commission and clients first. Pearl is an advocate for the blind in every way. Pearl does not show favoritism when working on client issues or clients. Pearl works from sunup to sundown and then some. She's a hardworking, dedicated professional. Pearl has a great heart and soul. Pearl, in my opinion, continues to be an excellent executive director. She continues to maintain a culture of moving forward and doing the best we can with what we have to work with. She goes out of her way to make sure everyone is reminded that they are an integral part of the agency mission, no matter their job title. Although I don't always agree with everything she may say or do, I very much appreciate her willingness to listen to a different view. She continues to epitomize fairness and dedication. So those are some of the, you know, the composite of those kinds of comments. If you want to include them, or
well, I noticed going through the survey when it got down to qualities, personal qualities, they were all fives. It really stood out. So some of those are not too objective, but a lot of things aren't objective in life, so you have to conjecture a little bit. So sure. I go along with those.
Yeah.
Yeah. Me too.
I think it's a pretty good synopsis.
Bob?
Yeah. I mean, as far as it's I think it's good. I guess I would think next year. Well, I guess some of us won't be here next year, but you know, want to encourage, you know, continue to encourage people to put some comments. I mean, it seems to me like there was fewer comments this year than in past years, and the you know, the people that go through and mark fives down the board. I mean, obviously they're happy, but you know, that's doesn't really, I don't think, help if they put some comment. I'd rather see a two-sentence comment than a whole string of fives, because you know, so if we, you know, anything to encourage, and maybe if we formulated a question or two that would require, you know, not just a multiple choice answer.
An essay type question.
Well, you didn't have to be, yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, but some kind of a couple questions, and maybe we could come up with some ideas before, you know, the three of us leave the commission. But I think that would be helpful if people had a couple short two, three.
I agree with you. I've always been somewhat bothered by survey kinds of things where you just, you know, put numbers. I know that those are helpful in compiling certain kind of trends or patterns or things like that, but they don't really get to the meat of anything. And I think that's a good idea. And when we get to the section on that in the agenda, I think we ought to maybe even put it into onto the next agenda, you know, for at the August meeting or something. But I agree with you that would be a good thing to do.
You know, as a person that likes to do surveys on the internet, I really find it frustrating when there's, you know, they have all these possibilities and there's really no way for you to say, well, I lean towards this or I lean towards that, but then there's this, you know. So I'm with, you know, the fives or whatever the number is. Why am I putting all these fives there? What are the good qualities that make me want to put all these five downs? Or what are all the bad qualities that make me want to put all these ones down? You know,
something like, you know, if I could make one change to NCBVI, just some, you know, maybe four or five or something, not too many, but
I think we should visit that.
Yeah, because
could pick their brains a little bit and get a little more meaningful information.
Yeah, when you just put down comment, most people think of that as optional. If you make them as a definite question, then they will feel obligated to put something down. So I have to agree.
Yeah, two or three of them, they answered every, they put a response to each of the questions.
Yeah, and you know what? I almost like that idea.
Oh, I really do. I like that. I really like that a lot.
Because it really helps explain where they're coming
that
from.
That was.
It is very helpful.
One thing in the survey I objected to this last year, and I still object to, is the commission board accessible. We're not being evaluated. Why would
but
that
But that's part of, you know, we did have this discussion last year, and I'll say probably a similar thing to what I did then, and that is that we need to, part of the whole, you know, getting to know how the how the whole thing works is whether we are seen as part of what's going on, and people feel like they can talk with us, can interact with us, because that will have something to do with whether people feel like they're responding to us is worth doing.
Recall 2 years ago, we told them we weren't accessible. We told them they had to work through the process in the contracts and so forth. So we actually told them 2 years ago we were not accessible.
See, I'm so glad you brought this up.
I don't think we did, but I'm, you know, and I don't want to be cutting off discussion really altogether, but we are doing the evaluation right now, and we're about to run out of time for that. And so, you know, I think we need to...
We don't have to discuss it. It just strikes me wrong, but you don't have to.
I'm not going to downgrade Pearl on that. It's more of it's more for our
that's right.
edification. So,
I would, however, like to revisit that at some point. Maybe under.
Well, we could do that. We're thinking of adding some additional questions. Maybe on next meeting's agenda, we could, you know, share some ideas back and forth and have it on next.
Because I do agree with you, Bill.
Yeah.
Okay, so we want to, and when we get to that, the survey thing, Bob, I hope you'll remember the kind of question you talked about. And then
okay. Excuse me.
Yeah, because maybe between now and the next, we could just brainstorm on questions, and then the next agenda we could, or next August meeting, we could decide which ones we line.
Yes. Okay. So the other thing that we need to do is move to accept the the evaluation. We also need to, well, and last year we did this backward. Mm-hmm. So we need to determine about retaining the executive director or not, and then we need to, you know, to deal with the.
So move to retain the executive director.
Second.
Who seconded?
Two of us.
Okay.
Bill or I.
give him the option.
Okay, so we've had a motion and a second.
Actually, it's good that Nancy and Daryl be the two, because they'll be the ones left.
That's right.
That Dr. Van Zandt be retained for another one-year term as executive director. And there's been a second, and so in accordance with public meeting laws, need to do a roll call. So, Bob?
Aye.
Bill?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Daryl?
Yes.
Okay, I concur also. Okay, and
does
then...
Technically, does the chairman get the right to vote?
I think that, you know, I would break a tie if there was one and there wasn't.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that I
okay.
concur.
Okay.
So welcome back.
Thank you.
And then we need to have the motion to accept the evaluation.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, Bill moved and Nancy seconded.
Aye.
And the motion is that the review... Okay, now the motion that has to do, that goes into the minutes or whatever, has to have in it whether the review was above satisfactory and so forth.
So does
and
that
it certainly was. And that
so the motion has to be something like the effect that accept the evaluation as above average?
Yes, and then there has to be the percentage increase or whatever. I mean, in the minutes it has to show that we came up with either a dollar amount or an increase.
Well, I averaged everything together. It's 4.24. 4.24, so...
Is that on our new scores we get?
Yeah.
See, she hasn't fallen asleep yet.
No, that's the...
The evaluation score.
That was what the scores we agreed to, that's what they averaged out to?
So...
What did they average out to last year?
That's one thing I didn't
give Bill.
Give
Bill the numbers or the what we had. And you can. You got a calculator? Yes.
I could do that. However, I overwrote, so I would need to look it up again.
Do you want me? So, this is Val. The last year's or?
Yeah. What was last year's average?
Okay. Duty one was 4.8. Second duty was 4.3. Third was 4.1, fourth was 4.1, and the fifth was 4.1, last year's.
Can somebody do an average?
So, Bill, are you
I hope somebody else was doing it.
I wasn't.
Oh.
Here, okay, I can.
That's very good, Bella. What did that average out to? They may have a calculator.
I do too.
I can.
4.28 is what I came up with. Okay. But I may be wrong.
That sounds right.
Close enough.
4.28, and this year's 4.24.
Okay. Well, that's really?
4.25 is what you said.
Well, we changed, yeah. That was mine.
Yeah, that was, yeah. Because we went up on a couple.
Yeah.
Of
yeah.
Oh.
Stayed the same.
Oh, that's true, too.
Okay.
Maybe
so
we need to,
maybe
we need
so
to do the average again because we changed.
So this year we had...
4.9.
We had... Oh, 5 was what you...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. On the first one. And I'm in the wrong 5.
Oh, yeah, that'll definitely bring the average up.
Then another one, we went up a 10th, and I think the other ones we stayed.
We stayed the same, mm-hmm. So yes. It's got to be at least the same or a little bit better, even.
Mm-hmm. It was up a couple points. I wasn't tracking for counting, but I was tracking mm-hmm. the individual things. Okay, so.
I have that it was up 2/10 from last year.
Okay.
Last year, okay. I have 21.4, was that right? And this year, 21.6.
Okay.
Correct?
Yeah, then you need to divide them by 5.
Yeah.
So it'd be 4. So. 4.2 something.
4.3.
4.6?
This year. And 4.2 last year.
Okay.
So it was 4.25 or something last year, and 4.3 this year. 4.24 last year. Okay.
And
4.24 last year, 4.31 this year. Okay, so the motion, we're back to that.
What's the state raise this year?
2.5.
And holding.
Yeah. That's what it is this year.
And what was the raise we gave for last year?
4% last year.
That included the regular, and we increased that 2.4, didn't we? 4%. We took into consideration the raise given to all employees, and we
added to it to make it 4%.
That to make it 4.
Yeah, that's what we did.
Yeah.
Well, what part of our objective has been to push up the wage base anyway? So I would think 4% again. I mean, mm-hmm. 2.5 is the base, and then another 1.5.
I would say so. Yeah.
So whatever mm-hmm. way we got to word the motion, that due to above
average,
or I don't know, that's kind of a
yeah. The board said Ben's evaluation as above satisfactory, and that her salary be increased by 4% effective July 1, 2007.
This that's is that. Could you read
that? Would be
that one more time.
That would be the sense of it.
Well, that would be a good motion, too.
Yeah, that was pure.
I saw a move.
Did we, last year, did we do half of it?
No.
Half
we
and
did.
Half?
No,
we did the I whole
did.
Thing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I couldn't remember what we did. Okay.
I think last year we were past the
Yeah, 2 years
time.
Ago.
We were past the time.
So. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was part of it. But it also just, I don't know, it just makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So Barbara, can you rewind your brain and say that exactly the way you did?
Yeah. I didn't get it down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That the board accept Van Zandt's evaluation as above satisfactory. And that her salary be increased by 4% effective July 1, 2007.
I think it was more poetic before, but this
I think this works.
This was more businesslike.
Yeah.
That's right.
Except that Barb did not make the motion.
Yeah, he did not.
Well, I didn't make the motion.
Bill made it.
Oh, Bill made it. Okay.
Yeah.
And who seconded it?
Jesus, so you sounded just like Barb.
Did somebody second it? I'll second it.
Okay, Bill made the motion and Bob seconded it. Is there discussion?
Also the question.
Okay, roll call. Bob?
Aye.
Bill?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Daryl?
Yes.
Okay, that looks unanimous to me. I believe we have a little bit after when we were supposed to have. I think we have.
We're going to talk extra fast from now on.
Finished mm-hmm. that item. And let's see, the next.
So the public rules, laws, they really wanted people to see sausage being made.
We got minutes.
Okay, so the...
If that doesn't drive away the public, I don't know what would.
I know in most evaluations, at the end of the evaluation, they say, do you have anything to say with regard to your evaluation?
No.
And then you can give any complaints. Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. That is a good idea.
Would like to say, Pearl.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to say something. I really appreciate the comments and the discussion. That was good to hear. I think that staff who do a lot of high ratings might be discouraged to feel that those are all just discounted. I must say that comment kind of, I think, is a little discouraging. From then the discussion of everything, it was great, good comments and good things to pay attention to. So maybe the restructuring of the things so that there is more built-in, this opportunity for comment now, but more kind of forcing the need to comment. I would hate to think that what it goes to is two or three loud voices, so to speak, with negative comments, and I don't know how many positive, mm-hmm. But that's my only concern with the way the process sounded. Yeah. But otherwise, mm-hmm. I really appreciate, the feedback.
I'm sorry we don't get more responses, 18 responses, mm-hmm. and only 13 on the evaluation. I think that's not good.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, I infer by that everybody else is happy. Mm-hmm. If people didn't want to say anything different, then I just take that as...
This is true.
I noticed, though, that if they gave real bad survey answers, they didn't answer the evaluation. So you can't infer that. I don't think so.
It is hard to tell. But... Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's just a comment for as you consider the process. The people that I talk with that give me a lot of really positive feedback, mm-hmm. They mean those positive numbers. So mm-hmm. anyway, that's just...
Well, and I think to clarify, it's, again, you've watched sausage being made. It's mm-hmm. not to discount them. It's just, mm-hmm. You're going through the survey, that it doesn't draw attention. Okay, this person's happy. It's everybody, even the people that were very happy, you could tell they gave a little more, I don't know, I would just call it thought to the survey mm-hmm. that they, yeah. Had, not maybe straight fives, but, mm-hmm. a couple, something different. I said, okay, gotcha. Well, at least they're paying it, mm-hmm. at least they're, they have a little more. And again, mm-hmm. I think that's why if we could maybe come up with a couple questions to mm-hmm. solicit some more feedback from them, that it would just
yeah.
help us, give us more insight. Then, obviously mm-hmm. if the person's happy, they're happy, and that's great. I mean, there was a lot of people who were very happy, and that's what we like, but
sometimes you get the impression that somebody's gone through and just, I really need to do this, and just down mm-hmm. the line.
Yeah.
And whereas other people, you really get the impression they really thought and dug deep in their heart, and they still may have come up with, mm-hmm. a really high number. most places, but sometimes they wouldn't, you know, put perfect. And in my way of thinking, I guess I think the way one of my teachers used to say that nobody is, when it came to citizenship, you know, if you sat in the corner and was very quiet and didn't cause any problems, you didn't get the top rating because, you know, nobody mm-hmm. is perfect. So mm-hmm. that wasn't a good thing to do either, to sit in the corner and be very mm-hmm. quiet. So, mm-hmm. You know, I think, you know, sometimes there's just no getting around it. Five is just the answer. That's yeah. the answer. But mm-hmm. and other times it's, mm-hmm. she's very good, but, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But also sometimes if they don't give anything, you know, if there's not enough specifics, mm-hmm. yeah. then there's not enough for us to, yeah. you know, to really right.
draw
you know,
on it all.
Or, you know, talk yes. about or think about.
As Barb says, numbers right. are numbers, and that's fine for figuring things out. Mm-hmm. But sometimes the comments are even more helpful.
Yeah. And maybe just a thought to that, too, is if you add more, clearly, you will be adding a little more substance mm-hmm. to it. You might want to decrease the number of just strictly quantitative questions because people are busy. And anyway, that was just kind of a side thing. But I guess I would, you know, say in terms of setting priorities and the the fiscal aspects of things, I work really hard at those. So that's clearly something that has to keep happening. And, so thank you for your support, and keep working it out, all of this.
Drinks are on Pearl.
Drinks are on me. At lunch, I'll buy the pizza.
That's a good thing, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
They contained 1-0, and I was wondering what the person was thinking there. You know, just wouldn't even put an answer, is it? Poor, lousy, just 0.
Oh.
But there were just one of those.
Oh, okay.
Okay, then, yeah, I'll thank everybody again, and I think we're only slightly behind mm-hmm. schedule so far. And I do think it's important that we, I mean, this mm-hmm. is one of our main duties. And so we do need to take it seriously, and I'm glad that everybody does. and I think that, you know, since we did mention that there were some concerns, that we will make sure that we find a time to meet with you, Pearl, to talk about that. I don't think that that's necessarily something that we would be doing at a meeting, but I do think that it would be reasonable for us to publicly commit to getting together with you and talking about the things that we alluded to
sure.
during the evaluation time. Mm-hmm.
Will you also be sending the evaluation responses to all staff?
Not the evaluation responses,
but the 21 survey, questions.
Yes, mm-hmm. that's what I meant.
Right.
We
mm-hmm.
will. Okay.
Yeah. Yep, mm-hmm. it's all.
Thank you.
I do have it all formulated. I need to change one or two words on
yeah, and
survey,
then we'll, yeah,
and
we
then
will.
It will be sent out. Okay. I'm not sure that my computer skills aren't terrific, so I'm not sure that getting it out to all the staff members. But
well, if you send it to me, I'll send it to Pearl, and then mm-hmm. she can get
yeah.
it.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's what I think.
Okay. That's
you know what? That's a very good yeah. idea because I think it's a
it
good idea
go
for Barb to look through it mm-hmm. one more mm-hmm. time, review sure. it, and I'll send it the corrected mm-hmm. one out to all the commission.
Okay. Well, our official in our job duty thing, it says that our official correspondence goes out over the signature of the chairman.
But
so that's
yes.
I'm not trying to.
No. But you know that's a
but
very.
That's just what we do.
It does. That, mm-hmm. that makes perfectly good sense.
Mm-hmm.
And besides which, Barb's one of these people that goes over with a fine tooth comb, which is always a good idea mm-hmm. too.
Okay, and when so that. When we get to the survey part of the agenda, we won't have to rehash that as our procedure for getting this year's out. Okay, so now we are to the minutes of the February 24th meeting. We did receive in the via email a correction concerning the webmaster's report. And I don't know, I'm thinking that probably what we should do, I mean, if we're considering that, we ought to maybe not just say, okay, we received the correction and let's do it or whatever. It had to do with the webmaster update from last time. Are you all familiar with that correction?
Yeah.
Sent to us.
It was a correction related to credit being given to, I mean, who did what or who announced what.
Yeah, to bring it in line with the recording of the meeting, you know, Jim had said that there were things that were attributed to Dr. Van Zandt as far as, you know, things that were said that actually he had said. So, do you want me to read the two things, or do you want to, how do you want to proceed?
I would just accept as presented.
Okay, and so then we would reflect the minutes from last time as corrected with, you know, before they go to approval. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know if that's what I'm saying.
The minutes have corrected.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And so, do you have the copy of that, Val, to insert or to replace?
I'm sorry. What he
submitted as a correction.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So if.
And then also, I had one.
Yes. You. Yeah.
In what we wanted to do with the in regards to the vendors and not just always riding their case but also be very appreciative and recognize the ones that are doing a good job, as you know, in the thing it said that we wanted to acknowledge, but I think it was commend vendors that are doing a good job of brailing, making their stands accessible. So just basically change it, acknowledge to command.
And I did you want to have, you know, like with some specific thing? I mean, I think we need to probably fine tune that. But for purposes of those minutes, you wanted to put command.
Yeah, and also didn't we talk a little bit about some kind of
something about
certificate or plaque or
letters or
something.
Yeah. We did. And I don't know, you know, we can correct those minutes to say command if you want to do that, and then you know, today we can maybe.
Yeah, I say, yeah, let's just change the minutes to say command instead of just acknowledge, and then we can do new stuff when we get to the agenda item of brailing on vending machines.
Okay, are there any objections to either of those corrections?
No.
Is there a motion to accept?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Is there further discussion? Okay. We'll do a roll call vote on the motion. Daryl?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Okay. So it is unanimous to do those two corrections. Are there any other comments, corrections, or anything else to the minutes? If not, is there a motion to approve them?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that the minutes be approved. Okay. Daryl?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Okay, that also is unanimous. Okay, it's time for a break. I now have 10:21. I don't know how accurate that is. It's supposed to be 10:05 right now.
Well, it's not too bad.
So, shorten the break.
So we will have a 10-minute break. Back to it. The next item on the agenda is the focus topic, how the Rehab Act impacts the blind.
Oh, I got that.
Earl?
Yes. Bob Deaton put together an outline of the Rehab Act and sent that to the board.
Yep.
You all received that.
Yeah.
We did.
Good.
I have that in Braille too, Pearl.
Okay. Thank you.
Really?
Here's a Braille copy of the outline. So I've asked Bob and Carlos just to lead us. I think Bob's going to get us started, and we'll go from there, but to lead you all in a discussion of the topic. So that's all right. We'll just turn it over to Bob Deaton.
Okay. What I plan to do here is kind of have a general overview of what the Rehab Act is and what you can find in the Rehab Act, kind of like a guided tour of the different titles and sections of the Act. And then perhaps afterwards, if there's some questions, we can focus on specific issues that that people might have regarding how the Rehab Act is applied to the daily operation, to the regular operation of the commission. The Rehab Act was initially was authorized in 1973. It was last amended in 1998. And at the present time, there is a reauthorization bill that is, well, it's not before Congress right now, I don't believe. But at some point, it is due for reauthorization. So at some point, that we can expect that to happen. The Rehab Act, when it was amended in 1998, was incorporated into the Workforce Investment Act. So it is now part of a larger piece of legislation. But I'm this discussion here will focus just on the Rehab Act itself, or the Act. The Rehab Act has seven titles, okay, with a number of sections before Title I. The sections that most apply to the operation, or the titles that most apply to the operation of the commission, are Title I, which have to do with vocational rehab services, Title VI, which has to do with supported employment, and Title VII, Chapter 2, which has to do with the older blind program. Titles 2 and 3 have to do with research and development. Title 2, I believe, is more specific to services to individuals with disabilities. Title 3 has to do more with research or training impacting professional development. Title 4 has to do with the National Council on Disabilities. Title 5 has to do with rights and advocacy. And Title 6 has to do with supported employment. Under supported employment, there's a couple of parts. One is projects with industry, part A is project with industries. That part is no longer active. You know, I believe that the commissioner has the authority to fund that part of the act or not. In any case, project with industries as it was administered in this state, he was best known as Workforce, or WorkNet, I'm sorry. WorkNet, as you know,
lost his funding a couple years ago, and is no longer operating. Part B of this thing is supported employment. Okay. Title VII also has a couple of chapters, Chapter 1 and Chapter 2. Under Chapter 2, there is funding for independent living services as administered by independent living centers and also the state rehab agencies for people under 55, you know, which is what we use it for. Okay. Going back to the section that precede Title I, these sections are relevant to the overall operation of the Act or the administration of the Act. What I sent you email as far as the entire Act, which is I think somewhere in the neighborhood of about 180 plus pages, seems to be truncated. I was looking all over for something that started out at the top that says the Rehabilitation Act and then Section 1. And what I sent you started out with Section 2. Section 1 is supposed to be the title of contents, from what I understand. Pearl looked up the Rehab Act on the Department of Education Rehab Services Services Administration website, and what they have posted is basically what I sent you. So it doesn't seem to be entirely complete. It doesn't have the outline attached part of it. The outline I sent you is specific to the level of sections. It doesn't include paragraphs or subparagraphs under each section. I think the sections basically tell you where you can find information if you want to explore specific provisions of the Act. And it's meant to be more of a general quick reference as to where things can be found. Section 2 has three parts to it: the findings, the purpose, and policy of the Act. The findings basically indicate that there are millions of people with disabilities in the United States. It recognizes the contribution that that people with disabilities can make. It also recognizes that that people with disabilities experience major barriers from making a contribution to society based on a variety of factors. But it also recognizes that that services can make a difference in terms of the people's ability to find employment, become self-sufficient, and achieve independent living goals. And so that part of the section two talks about that. The second part has to do with the purpose of the thing, and this focuses pretty much on the individual. You know, the purpose of the entire Act is to maximize the to empower people with disabilities, to maximize employment, economic self-sufficiency, independent living, and inclusion and integration into society. These are all terms that you find throughout the Act. So to maximize the ability of people to realize those aspects through statewide workforce systems, independent living centers, research, training, demonstration projects, and equal access to services. equal opportunity. Another part of the purpose is also for the federal government to take a leadership role in employment of people with disabilities and to assist the states in the administration of the act. The policy also focuses on the individual in terms of recognizing the human dignity of the individual, the right to self-determination, personal responsibility, and pursuit of pursuit of employment based on informed choice. It also talks about recognizing the privacy right and equal access to services, including accessible formats, and the involvement of individual representatives and community involvement in the delivery of services. So I think right away the focus of the act is very clearly on the individual, and that runs throughout the act. You'll find terms like informed choice, inclusion, and integration in full participation in society repeated throughout. Also, phrases like maximizing resources, priorities, concerns, abilities, capabilities, interests, informed choice, and the identification of vocational goals and development of individual plans. These values are reinforced and repeated throughout each of the different sections and titles of the Act. Section 3 has to do with the establishment of the Rehabilitation Services Administration. Rehabilitation Administration is responsible for the overall administration administration of the Act, and also for oversight of how the Act is administered at the state level. The person responsible for the operation of the Rehab Services Act is the commissioner. The commissioner is appointed by the president and approved by the Senate. That's one of the provisions that has been under discussion as changing. The way the current reauthorization bill was written, that provision is not changed, I don't believe. I believe that the commissioner, if the reauthorization bill is passed as it is, will still continue to be appointed by the president and approved by the Senate. Section 3 has to do with the... Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I just said that. Section 3. We have the bill. Okay. Section 4. Section 4 and 5 are missing from your outline.
6 and 7 seem to be...
Well, 6 is not there, period. I think that was eliminated when the Act was amended in 1998. There
right,
is no
right, se- okay.
But Section 4 and 5 are missing. Section 4 has to do with the advanced funding of the Act. I think it just simply provides a mechanism for making sure that the Act is funded before each federal fiscal year. The second one has to do with joint funding, and that more addresses the issue of match, I believe. Okay. Section 6, I think, was absorbed by later amend, by later sections. Same thing with Section 9. There is no Section 9. Section 7 is the definition, definitions. And there's quite a few of these, and I think those are worthwhile looking at some point. You know, there's a variety of terms that is well to be aware of. You know, there's definitions for the individuals with disabilities, individuals with significant disabilities, and individuals with most significant disabilities. You know, the main difference there is degree of severity. Each one focuses on a functional definition. There is, as far as I could find in the Rehab Act, there is no definition for blindness in the Act itself. You know, so it restricts itself to a definition of disability and individuals with disabilities. So it's functional disability. A person with a disability is someone who has an impediment to employment or an ability, an impediment in their ability to be involved in the community activities or the activities of daily living, or to live independently. So, someone with a significant disability will be somewhat more impaired. Now, somebody who is legally blind, I didn't quite find. I think it's in this Rehab Act somewhere. I don't recall seeing it when I went through this, but I believe that it there says that somebody who is legally blind is someone who has a significant disability. So, by definition, that person would be eligible for services, presumptive disability. Somebody with the most significant disability, now that's left to the states to define, by the way I'm reading the Rehab Act. Although, by reading other sections in the Act, it sounds like somebody who is receiving supported employment services, by definition, must be somebody with the most significant disability. Okay, so that would help categorize, you know, where people might fall. This is important, I think, when it comes to considering who receives services if there's an order of selection, which is not what we're about. We have not come to the point where we are denying services because of lack of financial resources. If we ever reach the point where we cannot meet the demand of people who apply for services, then we will have to consider prioritizing applicants on the basis of their disability. People with most significant disabilities would be those who would have first priority, and then it would go down from there. Other definitions include employment outcome, supported employment, transition services. There's quite a few different things here that that you can explore. After Section 7, many of the other sections are more specific in terms of the administration of the Act, the administration of financial resources, and that kind of thing. And I don't think that we need to go into those. You know, the Act can be very, very specific in terms of what funds can be used for or not used for, and I don't think that we need to go into those things. But there are a couple of sections that kind of deviate or just a little bit different. There is a information clearinghouse, a national information clearinghouse, which I don't think that, I know that I have not made use of that to any extent. I think perhaps that could be a very good resource if I'm looking at grant writing or something like that. It's supposed to be a clearinghouse on general information about disabilities in general, you know, the services that impact people with disabilities and that sort of thing. It could be a very good resource, but I have to say I haven't really looked at that. It provides for a system of evaluation and monitoring. You know, that is one of the functions of the Rehab Services Administration, and that is something that we've just recently been experiencing. There's been a couple of trips to Nebraska and that sort of thing, and we're establishing a new relationship with RSA following changes last year. Let's see. Section 20, I think. Client assistance information. Yeah. I just want to basically mention that it does provide for data sharing between the RSA and the Social Security Administration. I think largely the data sharing there is to help rehab agencies determine eligibility for services. Let's see, the last one has to do with traditionally underserved population. And that just says that Congress recognizes that some populations have a greater need for rehabilitation services than others, and that there is more emphasis placed on the delivery of services for those populations. Okay, the first title, and that's the end of those initial sections before Title I. Title I has to do with vocational rehabilitation services. And this is the major part of the grant, or a major part of the act that guides the operation of the agency here. The major part of our funding is in relation to Title I. And this is broken down into four parts. Part A goes into general provisions. The first section of this here goes into the purpose. The main purpose of this section is to assist the states in the administration of a statewide program of rehabilitation in conjunction with the statewide workforce investment system, or workforce system. And let's see, I'm looking at Title 101, Section 100. Section 101 is the state plan. This is rather extensive. It provides specifically for a number of assurances and narrative is in terms of how we administer the act on a state level. So, again, a lot of the sections in here are mandatory. You know, much of this is also included in the preprint. So, there are assurances that we will have memorandums of understanding, those kind of things, and that we will work cooperatively with different entities, which we just have to make sure that we agree to. Some of the attachments are more specific to areas such as the delivery of vocational rehabilitation services, supported employment, comprehensive service, comprehensive system for personnel development, and those kind of things. These things are probably fairly familiar with to you already, since the state plan is currently, was just recently completed, I believe, or at least it's near completion. Okay, section 102, eligibility and individual plan for employment. Now, the eligibility there simply says that you have to be an individual with a disability, and that services, and that there is a need for rehabilitation services in order to achieve an employment goal. It also indicates that there may be a presumption of eligibility, in which case a person may not be found, and in which case the person may not be found ineligible unless it can be shown or demonstrated that there is no reasonable expectation of benefit from services provided. And so there's there are provisions for an extended evaluation, which would include job trials and that sort of thing. If after it can be demonstrated that a person that lacks the ability to sustain competitive employment, then a determination of ineligibility can be made, but not before. Individualized plan for employment. Again, this is another lengthy section of the act, which goes into mandatory requirements. There are parts of the Rehab Act, or there are parts of the IPE that is required, and so all of that is fully described here. Section 104 has to do with vocational rehab services. This is a rather long list of the types of services that can be included in an IWRP and authorized for using the money awarded to the states for the administration of this part of the act. Section 106. Evaluation standards and performance indicators. Every once in a while, you will hear us refer to that. Those are the standards and indicators which the federal government used in order to assess how well we are complying with the terms of the Rehab Act. Monitoring and review. There is an annual report that that we RSA completes every year too. That I think you've heard it referred to as the Section 107 report. You know, and that is in reference to this part of the Act. So. That report identifies areas in which that need to be addressed, and then we our response in terms of what actions we'll be taking to address those issues. Section 108. Okay, the expenditures and amounts and. That's more financial. I didn't look too close at that. Throughout the Act, you will find different sections, again, specific to how money is to manage, be managed, and monitored or accounted for. Then the last section under Part A, transfer of training of employers. In respect to the Americans with Disabilities Act, I believe that, I can't comment on this. I'm not exactly sure what we have done in terms of training with employers. So I guess I'm going to have to pass on that one. Let's see. Part B of the Rehab Act is the title Vocational Rehabilitation Services. Section 110. State allotment. Okay, I think talks about how money is allocated to the states. And then section 111 has to do with the client assistance program and how that is to be communicated to the clients and administered. I think I missed one section in Part A. I kind of skipped over the State Rehab Council. There is a provision of consumer oversight, and that is in most states that will be that is the responsibility of the rehab statewide or the State Rehab Council. Now, we don't have a rehab council here because we are a separate commission. And consumer oversight is the responsibility of the Board of Commissioners or yourself. Okay, Part C of Title I, Rehabilitation Services. Wait a minute. Part 3, or Part C rather.
That one has to do with American Indian Vocational
Rehab
Services?
Yeah. Grants to Indians or American Indians. Now that would be more direct grants to tribes, and that does not. We don't have what they call Section 121 programs here in Nebraska. Some states do, and we don't. So that's not particularly relevant to what we do here.
So is there no such thing as sections 113 to 120?
Yes, right. So basically when you have parts, you know, when you go from one part to another,
yeah,
they kind of skip in, any intervening things, and they start like with 110 or 120 or something like that.
No. Oh, so it was coincidence that there was a 109 and then it went to 110. But
there was. If there had been a 108 and no 109, it would have gone to 110.
Okay. It would have done that anyway.
Yeah.
See, this part of it is good for me because I have never understood some of that, so I appreciate this outline.
And it's good to know, too, because like in the initial sections, there are a couple of sections that were just gone. You know,
yeah.
Section 6, Section 9, they're
uh-huh.
Right. Part D, I'm trying to find that.
Vocational Rehabilitation Service, client information.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the data sharing.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so it goes back to that thing, okay. Again, with the Department of Education and Social Security, and also the Department of Labor, more for general overall comparative comparisons with our data with other employment data reflecting employment trends for people without disabilities. Okay. Title 2 and 3. That's Title 1. So there's got those four sections, there are four parts. Title 2 and 3, like I said, are more research and development. And the first one is more for the purpose of maximizing or empowering people to achieve inclusion and integration, employment goals, economic self-sufficiency, independent living, all of those good things, you know, with emphasis on strengthening the services to individuals in those areas. So here this title authorized for the establishment of NIDER, which is the National Institute of Disability Research and Rehabilitation. And this is the source of demonstration projects that we sometimes we have the opportunity to apply for. So that is what this is. This part of the act is has the authority for the transition grant that we were given an award for some years ago. It also talks about an interagency committee, and that is responsible for coordinating the research activities across the board as far as federal agencies. You know, different agencies may have research and demonstration projects going on, and this will help coordinate those efforts to reduce duplication. There's also a rehabilitation research or research rehabilitation advisory council, which is supposed to provide some direction to NIDER in terms of what priorities are established for research and development. And in the case of Title III, the emphasis there is more on professional development. You know, now there is, I did notice that there are some provisions for training of individuals with disabilities, but that is more to train individuals in terms of their ability to access rehabilitation services and promote their ability to participate in the process. I see it as kind of advocacy training, but for the most part, this is more designed for professional development. Now, some years ago, we did try to make a proposal for technical assistance. You know, in this area, Title III, you can address a specific need for development, and that's what we did. We were looking at creating a position that would expand our technology services, particularly in Western Nebraska. So we developed that proposal, and shortly after we submitted that, we learned that RSA was not going to fund any projects, you know. And I don't believe that that has changed since then. So right now, no money is going into technical assistance that is initiated by the states. It still does provide for competitive employment, competitive demonstration projects, however, for personnel development. Let me see. Title IV, that one had to do with the National Council on Disabilities. That's a 15-member council appointed by the president, approved by the Senate, chairman also appointed by the president, meets four times a year. This is more focused on policy development. You know, this responsibility is to assess the need for new policy directives, assess the effectiveness of current policy. The role of the NCD is largely advisory, specific to advising the director of NIDER, directing the commissioner of RSA, and also advisory to advise Congress in terms of legislative policy. Okay, I think that's really all I need to say about the National Council on Disability. Frankly, I don't hear much about the council at all. It seems to have a fairly important role. The commissioner on commissioner of RSA is supposed to be guided by policies that are determined by the NCD. So I guess having read that section, I would like to know more exactly what degree the commissioner of RSA works with NCD. You know, since Fred is going to be here next week, I think I'll take advantage of that opportunity to ask him some more questions about that. Title V has to do with rights and advocacy, and this has to do more with the rights of people with disabilities throughout the federal system. Okay, so there are provisions here for affirmative action, addressing issues related to discrimination in employment. That's Section 504. You know, I think 504 is pretty well known, and you may well have heard references to that. So that's a fairly well-known provision, and it is part of the Rehab Act. Another well-known part of the Rehab Act in this title is Section 508. It has to do with technology, making sure that technology services are accessible to people with disabilities. 502 has to do with architectural barriers. I think that's another important part of the Act. 509 is the one section in this title that is more specific to protection and advocacy at the state level. And this part of the Act authorizes for entities such as the Nebraska Advocacy Services, okay, and specifically that part that refers to protection and advocacy for individual rights. Okay. That's a major part of the funding for Nebraska Advocacy Services. It's not the only funding that they get. They also receive funding for other parts of the, for other protection and advocacy provisions under other legislation. For instance, another major grant that they have is protection and advocacy for mental illness, which is not part of the Rehab Act. Now, it's interesting here that that the purpose, well, the purpose of protection and advocacy is to provide for these kind of services that go beyond the scope of the client assistance program, you know, or for protection and advocacy not included under under other positions in other legislation. So the client assistance program does not, you cannot redress issues that you might have with Nebraska Advocacy Services with the client assistance program. So that is outside the scope of what the client assistance program is designed to do. The client assistance program does, however, have oversight over other entities besides the state rehab agency. It can redress issues involving Centers for Independent Living, for example. Okay? And it used to oversee issues involving WorkNet. But since the Act is no longer funding WorkNet, that's become kind of irrelevant at this point. But it's good to know that the client assistance program does have a broader scope than just the state rehab agency. So that's Title V. Title VI is organized under two parts. Part A, I already mentioned, was Project with Industries, and that's, again, no longer funded. Part B has to do with supported employment. Again, people who are eligible for supported employment services are necessarily those with the most significant disabilities, okay? So even under an order of selection, the way I read this thing is that that people with the most significant disabilities would be put at the head of the list of those receiving services. They would not be put on a waiting list. So, let me see, I don't think I need to say anything more about supported employment services. Well, okay, maybe, yeah, to be eligible for supported employment services, there needs to be an ongoing need for services. In other words, the need for services is lifelong. Okay, it does limit the time. It does limit federal fund awarded to state rehab agencies to no more than 18 months without a compelling reason. You can get a waiver to that, but otherwise, 18 months. After which, the need for ongoing support will be funded by some other agency. Here in Nebraska, the only institutional form of ongoing funding is for services to people with developmental disabilities. There are other populations, however, that might need ongoing funding, including people with traumatic brain injury or mental health issues. The onset of which disabilities have occurred after the age of 21. Right now, there is no funding mechanism for those people who have that need. So we have to look at other strategies for providing supported employment services. We have not, to my knowledge, we have not ever denied anybody supported employment services if we feel that there's a need on the basis that there's no institutional form of ongoing funding. We've looked at other strategies, for instance, past plans for sheltering SSI in the event that that is one way, in the event that they're eligible for that kind of funding. Or we look at personal resources or whatever we can. Also, the supported employment services needs to be integrated into the community. It needs to be competitive wages. And I think that's about it as far as eligibility. Okay, Title VII has to do independent living services. This is divided into two chapters. Okay, under chapter one, there are three parts. Part A are general provisions. I think the most important thing you'll find here is the state plan. Okay, that is a three-year plan that needs to be signed off by the designated by the director of the designated state unit. Okay. The designated state unit is the state rehab agencies charged with the administration of the Rehab Act on the state level. Here in Nebraska, there are two state agencies, one for the general disability population and one specifically for the blind. So here, the state plan needs to be signed off by General Rehab, by the Commission for the Blind, and the chairman of the Statewide Independent Living Council. I am a member of that council, and the state plan is right now in the process of being approved by the Board of Education. Once that is approved, it will be submitted to RSA. I would like to say that at the present time, Della Johnson, which I think you all know, is chairman of the Statewide Independent Living Council, and her term on the council will expire this fall. When she leaves, there will be no one on the council who is blind. So we are seeking applicants for service. Not just her, but also other vacancies are expected. So in any case, if you know of anyone, right now I haven't been able to really recruit anyone for participation on the Statewide Independent Living Council. It is important, you know, because they do have they do have quite a bit of say in terms of how independent living funds are used within the state. I have sent notices to the NFB and also to the ACB for anyone requesting that anyone who has an interest submit applications for service. And it's pretty easy to apply. If you have an interest, you know, the Statewide Independent Council will help you through that process. What else can I say about the council?
We'll be talking about the state plan later, so.
Yeah. All right. So the state plan, the Statewide Independent Living Council, those are the major provisions under the general provisions. Part B has to do with the administration of funds to the state rehab units or the commission in this case, and general rehab for independent living services. The grant that we receive is fairly small, it's about $34,000 approximately, and a lot of that is obligated. I think that we obligate about $7,000+ for the operation of the SILC, Statewide Independent Living Council, and another $15,500 goes to the operation of HILLS, which is the Independent Living Council that was established using Part B money in western Nebraska. Part C has to do with the operation of independent living centers. There are three primary providers in the state. There's the League of Human Dignity with satellites in Norfolk and Omaha. And also there's Central Nebraska Independent Living Center. Not quite sure. In Grand Island, I'm not sure, quite sure what the title is there. And they have a satellite in North Platte. And then there's PILS. Now, PILS is not authorized by the Rehab Act. It was created at a point when they were not eligible for funding. So it is anticipated that when the Rehab Act is finally reauthorized, PILS will be brought into the funding mechanism, at which point...
What does that stand for?
PILS, Panhandle Independent Living Services.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and according to the agreement that we have, once they have secured other funding, the funding that we provide to them for operations will be discontinued, okay? The thing is, you know, Silk feels kind of proprietorial now. You know, they feel like they own that money. So I think it would be difficult for us to start using that for other services for blind people specifically. I think we'll probably want to transfer that money for other types of Center for Independent Living activities. That's my take on it right now. Of course, that's an issue a couple of years down the road, at least at this point. Okay, chapter 7 or title 7, chapter 2 is the older individuals who are blind thing. And there's only two sections here having to do with the administration of funds. Oh, and definitions. I think basically it defines who an older individual who is blind. It doesn't really define blindness, but it does define what's older, basically 55 and older. So that is the Rehab Act, broad strokes, pretty general, but it gives you an idea of where things can be found. And it also gives you some idea of the scope. So it really impacts the operation of more than just the Commission for the Blind, or even the State Rehab Act Agency for People with General Disabilities. That took longer than I thought, so there's quite a bit to the Act. Any specific questions? Or?
In the reauthorization that's going on now, is there any significant changes, or what's the outside of the RSA? Head of the RSA being non-appointed by the president, but other than that,
I guess the one that comes most to mind is that funding for supported employment will be discontinued. Okay, which is kind of a sad thing for me because I have a special feeling for that. Before I started working for the agency 20 years ago, when I was working in Minnesota, that was the primary interest of mine, you know, moving people out of supported sheltered employment into community-based employment, and I really think that that can be make a huge difference in the lives of people with developmental disabilities. But I also recognize that there's all kinds of problems in the administration of supported employment services at the national level. No fault of providers at all, but just simply how it's funded and that kind of thing. You know, job coaches are really not paid well, they're not trained well, and there's just not enough quality control. When it is properly administered, I think it can be a very successful program. But otherwise, I think a lot of people feel that on a national level, the program is not lived up to expectations. Other than that, I can't think. Carlos, can you think of changes?
The other only one is, there are two proposals, one from the Senate and one from the House. The one from the House is giving more discretion to the governors to take money away from rehab agencies and to put it into the infrastructure for workforce or one-stop centers. The Senate version is giving a cap. I believe it's just 1% probably.
I think a half of 1%.
Half of 1%. So that's the one that agencies for rehab are supporting, the Senate bill. And the Senate bill is also keeping the RSA commissioner position as it is, and the housing version is not. So those are the main changes,
right?
Are there other questions? Well, I appreciate this overview and the outline. I have certainly had occasion to look things up in the Rehab Act, and depending on what it is, if you have an idea of what section to start with, it does make the finding of something a lot simpler. And I don't know why, I guess because I hadn't really looked at it in outline form before. I hadn't really paid as much attention to the fact that these numbers do correspond with the specific titles, and it isn't that things are missing all over the place. You know, that was something I kept thinking, boy, I've never had a complete version of this, because you skip from one thing to the other, and it just isn't, it seemed like it was just not complete. But the fact that it starts all over with either a, set of zeros at the end, or maybe an 01 or whatever,
does
make a little more sense now, which...
Just remember to add section 4 and 5.
And I think that when we're working on specific things, it will be useful to know this information. I think that this particular outline, with sections 4 and 5 added or whatever, that it would be probably a good idea for us to have this be part of the new commissioner's information.
That's a good point. I can
with a note that the one section is no longer funded.
Yeah.
Because I think that's important for people to know. And as soon as the supported employment gets eliminated, which is a sad thing, I hope that doesn't happen, but that those things, that the things that are no longer applicable be noted. I think that would be a helpful thing, because otherwise people could look it up and say, well, it says here that you're supposed to have a project with industry or, something like that.
I should say that supported employment, the Reauthorization Act doesn't exclude the provision of supported employment. It's just that that it does away with that section. Mm-hmm. People that would need supported employment services would be provided those services under Title I. So it doesn't provide a special title or part of a title in the new act. And I guess it's to me, that just sort of diminishes the uniqueness of that kind of a service. It sort of blends it in with all other types of services that are provided under general services. But I feel that way too. I think, rather than, I would like to see it separate, even if there are problems in the administration of the thing, I would like to maybe see more thought given to how those problems can be corrected, rather than taking away the special recognition that they now have.
Back to the point of the sections that are missing, I would like to suggest that we'll get that outline updated, and that the updated and complete version be what is included with the...
Yes.
Yes, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. I'll do that and email it to everyone.
Sure thing.
Well, thank you very much for your effort on that, Bob. That is a daunting piece of documentation. Tackling it, it feels a little less so, which is what we were hoping for. So thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, the next item on the agenda is public comment. Is there public comment?
Yes. Madam President, how many in the evaluation of the of Pearl, how many responses did you get through the virtual suggestion box? Or the anonymous submission of
This year we didn't. I don't think we received any responses.
Okay. I asked that question because I did do that. So you didn't get it.
And I also had some indication from other people, not a lot, but maybe two for sure others who were doing that route. Had a problem, it wasn't working right or wanted to confirm, we worked with the web, so thank you for asking that question.
Yes.
Bob. We did work with the web people and had been confirmed that it was working. So that is
a real
problematic.
I would suggest something.
Good idea.
One of the things that, Barbara, if you remember, you're in the mentoring program. You know that when we do our monthly reports,
yes,
when we submit those monthly reports, it says, thank you very much.
Yes, it does. And I was assuming that...
Yeah. We've already put in a request to get that added.
Yeah, that the staff would get a confirmation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It wasn't in there before, but... when the issue came up back when the request for the surveys first went out, that is something I got started right away to not just see if it's working, but also get that confirmation. Mm-hmm. And we need that on our referral page as well with the website. But so I knew that piece hadn't been accomplished yet, but that it was in the works. But my understanding was that the thing actually works. So that's a problem.
So that is too bad.
That's a real concern because, you know, I don't want us saying, yes, you can do this.
Did you folks get a test from me right around in that same time? I went on to the suggestion box and...
You've gotten tests from time to time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Test. Okay.
But I don't remember when the last one was.
No.
I mean,
it doesn't seem like there's been one in the last few weeks.
I don't think there's been one since our last meeting.
It would have been... after Dave sent the survey out to staff, because that's when I started getting some requests about that.
And I was thinking I did get one.
This is Val. I sent one when Bob said it didn't work.
Uh-huh.
So I sent it, and mine worked, but it didn't state anything.
Well, but you think it worked. If they didn't actually get it.
Yeah,
well, I don't. So I told him mine went.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So there's been several.
Mm-hmm. I personally knew of a few.
I've forgotten now. Is that suggestion box, does it just go to the chairman or does
yeah,
it
Yeah, that's what
it just
it's
goes
supposed
to
do, yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought. So we wouldn't have gotten it anyway.
The chair has to... Well, no, but the chair would then...
Pass it on.
Okay.
A comment then on the thank you page. I've been on some sites where... maybe you'd get the thank you response, but there was nothing and a further button to direct you back to the home page or to another aspect of the site. So that might be another comment for the webmaster, that if the thank you page is developed, that there'd be another button that people could be directed back to
thank you
the page or somewhere.
Noted.
Over.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's really discouraging or disheartening or something of that sort, because we don't want to be missing what people want to say to us.
And the ones that come anonymously, you know.
There's no way to get better.
Yeah.
And also, you know, by the fact that they are anonymous, may have some comments that would be worth seeing.
Right.
Well, certainly no matter what. You know, if there were a couple other people that submitted it using that mechanism, then it certainly accounts for why the lower number.
Well, that's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah. Was that probably accounts for that if there were more people wanting to use that avenue. You know, I didn't receive any hard copies this year.
I do think to assume that the ones submitted in that way implies that it's negative.
It doesn't imply anything to me.
No. The case. That's not what I heard from the people who wanted to do that route.
I mean, no, it doesn't imply that at all to me. It's just a new. I mean, it's another avenue if somebody wants to use it, just like the hard copy thing is. You know, I did not receive any hard copies this year in the mail, in snail mail. We have before, but this year we have not. And I was assuming we hadn't received anything, or nobody had sent it through the suggestion thing. And I do remember that, you know, Dave did send the specific way to get there this year, which I was really pleased that he did, by way of reminding people how to get to it. But we didn't.
Okay, well, I'm glad that came up. We'll check again and see what's up with them. Thank you, Bob.
Yes, thank you. And if there would be a way for any.gov, if they're somewhere in cyberspace or what, I mean, if they're still, I don't know, wherever they are, undelivered, if they could get them to us, that would be a really good thing.
Yeah. Yes.
Because, you know, we appreciate feedback whenever it comes. Mm-hmm. So.
And that wouldn't have been late by anybody's.
Well, in my opinion, it's never too late. I mean, if somebody thinks about it, or even in response to what we talk about at a board meeting, if somebody says, well, you know, I'd like to get my thoughts to them. I mean, whether it's done through that mechanism, through a survey, through just a plain out email, hey, I'm thinking this.
Yeah.
We're always glad to get feedback.
Well, maybe once we establish that it's working again, we could tell the people that submitted it.
I think we absolutely
that we
have
did
a
not
responsibility
receive
to do that.
Yeah.
We'll see what we can find out. If the ones that were submitted are still floating in the air someplace, then and those can be pulled in. We don't have to ask people to resubmit
at least. Yeah.
But so let's check that first, as well as of course the workings of it. We'll get that getting fixed.
Okay. Is there any other public comment at this time? Yeah, I put my coat on.
I turned it up a little bit ago. I got up and heated that up.
Okay, I figured that it might not be anything but my own thermostat, so I just put my coat on. But I'm glad that something is happening about it.
If it doesn't correct soon, Jamie, I'll pump it up a little bit more.
Can hold the coffee.
Yeah, I should just go hold a cup of coffee.
Mrs. Val, there's a new pot made.
Okay, so if people want something warm, that's one up. Okay, the next item on the 24th of May, again, I was unable to participate in the bake sale for the Orientation Center Alumni Association, but it does seem that raised quite a bit of money again, and so that's a good ongoing thing too. It's good that there are so many things happening that we can't get to all of them. I wish we could, but that is certainly a sign that everything is vibrant and that there are a lot of things going on. It's good that the website got launched on the 12th of March. Of course, we hope that the virtual mm-hmm. suggestion box part will get done soon. We did have on discussion via email about the text for our particular box, and we did revise that. And I think it's it's good. I hope it will inspire people to seek us out. We're always glad to know that the legislation that we've been working toward has some good effects. The certification legislation passed, we certainly were hoping for that to be the case. So that's a new thing that will be useful, I think. Also, I did write a response to Howard Simons, to his letter. I thought I had done one early on, but I didn't find it anywhere. Maybe it went to the same cyber nowhere that the suggestion box things went. I don't know. But so I did rewrite, and that went out just very recently. Mm-hmm. We did receive the anniversary letters for John Schmidt, Cheryl Livingston, Larry Mackey, Cindy Zimmer, Josie Rodriguez, Sherry Brueggemann, Bob Deaton, Larry Roos, Deanna Jesse, and Val Peary. And we always appreciate receiving those. And we also are glad to continue to get the updates for the calendar, for the staff listings. We're glad that to welcome Jamie Forbes, and we hope that Jan and Eric will be able to attend one of our meetings at some point. We welcome them as well, and we hope that things are going well for Jeremy Ritchie and for Mitch Green, who are not with us anymore. We also hope that the situation with Sahar Husseini will have a good resolution. We're always interested in the complimentary things that come out, and we're glad to receive those, to be aware of the good work that people do. The financial information from Bill is, we're glad to have that, and also the data tracking from Dottie Wilmot, and the center reports and community project reports. Those are really good to have, and I also want to say that at the meeting on the 22nd with the RSA people, I really felt proud of our center students and our center staff. I think there was good interaction that helped people to understand some of the differences in what it means to be trained and to not have training. I spent some time with an individual afterward about the difference that can make, and that attitude is everything. I mean, it is a big part of what your confidence is, what how you feel about being job ready, all of those things. And I just really did feel that Allison Rail and Carol Simon, and there may have been another one who spoke up. Cheryl talked about Carol Jenkins and Cheryl Simon talked about what the training had meant to them in a way that I don't think anybody else can do. And so that, I really think, was a crucial part of that.
Excuse me.
So, and we did receive the commendations for Cheryl Poff, Nancy Floral, and Elaine Cavillac from someone who wanted to donate to the commission. And, you know, when staff gets out there and helps people to understand, you know, how important it is and what's going on and that kind of thing, it's really, really wonderful to get those things. And also the person who sent the thank you from the Governor's Workforce Summit, I think that made a big impact as far as what blind people are doing, how it makes a difference to employers and potential employers. And so it's good to see that kind of thing happening too. It's also good to get the letters concerning memorial money. Any kind of money is useful. we got the minutes from the Friends, and we're glad that the Helen Keller Deaf Blindness Week proclamation has been scheduled, and I do intend at this point to attend that. And since I try to do things by example, that's it for the chair. And the next item is public comment, if there is any.
Driver did come in. I don't know if you want to ask him to introduce himself.
We do always appreciate anyone who comes, you know, letting themselves be known. So hopefully I'm not putting somebody on the spot, but who has...
Just introduce yourself,
yeah.
Please.
Oh, Dan Bird, driver from Omaha.
Welcome.
Hello.
Okay, the next item then would be the report from the executive director.
All right, thank you. In the interest of time, I will try not to, I'll try to skip over things that Barbara has already mentioned in her report. No point in duplicating. Sometimes I start reading my report and I end up saying things anyway, but we'll try to be as concise as possible here. In terms of field services, in the past quarter, we have served 915 people. 476 in vocational rehabilitation. During that time, since October 1, we've had 26 successful closures. Those are 26s. I double-checked to make sure, but it is 26s. Anyway, we also had 40 28s or unsuccessful closures. Now, the reason for that is that staff are really working on contacting people that perhaps have, you know, not, there hasn't been much action with their plan, they aren't really doing anything, they don't, often don't really want services, but they don't want to be closed. And so counseling sessions have been held and people have been encouraged to either get back into an active plan or to just, you know, end their services with us. I mean, a person can always go into independent living if they need something like that. But the purpose of a VR plan is pretty specific. And so we do have quite a few closures since October 1. I want to also tell you that... there's been discussions, Carlos and Bob have gone to the offices and they're having discussions about so that the status of this is being evaluated on an ongoing basis. And there are many more clients that are likely to close in a successful status before the end of the fiscal year. So I'm not too worried about those old ones. Then also in independent living, we've served 439 people since October 1. 93 have been successfully closed, and then we've had 13 closed unsuccessfully. So that's field services. Center has been very active. Center clients have been, they've prepared meals and served meals for a number of meetings, the transition protocol discussions, the RSA people that were here for tour. Some of those are, they're important for this, the confidence and the skills that the clients gain through the experience, but they also are very good education pieces for the people that are there being served. We hear a number of comments from, like, the educators that were here for protocol meetings and from RSA people. It's really good for them to observe the clients in action doing the serving, and so there are a lot of good reasons to do that. Also, we've had some activities, attending the budget hearing, then going into the Capitol cafeteria and meeting with clients from elsewhere in the state who came in for the budget hearing also. The Family and Friends Day, you did talk about that, but it was very successful. And clients attended public meetings with the StarTran here in Lincoln. Barbara mentioned the clients from Iowa. All of the center staff and clients of the Iowa Department for the Blind Center did come and spend the day with our center and tour, and that was a very good experience. And clients took part in a food drive that we did here in Lincoln, and then also in the potluck that was held for that. We're planning a 2-day camping trip in June, so that's coming up. And of course the bake sale. We have an ongoing track of full-time clients served over time. It's been 148 people since 1996. 85 people have achieved competitive employment of those. The general results, 92% are employed. That includes competitive employment and homemaker, but those were ones where homemaker was their vocational goal. So 92% employed. 23% of the total number are still students, and so, you know, still working toward their goal. So of the total, only 6% are not either working or still in school. Then staff, we've had a lot of changes. Jamie Forbes, of course, started March 26th. We'll be sorry to lose her in Lincoln, but really glad to have her when she gets out to North Platte. Jan Stokebrand did start May 21st. I should say Jamie started March 26th. Eric Sandberg, the new apartment resource aide, started May 29th. Then people leaving, Jeremy Ritchie, apartment resource aide, left March 31st. Zahar left April 12th. Mitch Green left April 24th. We're in process of creating two new positions, the program specialist for older blind services, which has now been funded by state funds, and we're exploring with supervisors the best way to manage that position. And then we plan to hire a Braille instructor for the center so that we can go back to the position of having a full-time center director and a Braille instructor who can focus full-time on that as well. So both of those positions have to be created through personnel, and we're working on that. We've had lots of other activities. 24 teenagers attended Winterfest. It was a very good program. There have been peer support group leadership trainings in three places in the North Platte District. The mentoring program has been very active statewide. There was a statewide activity in March. The governor's summit was mentioned briefly, but I do want to say partly the placement committee, as well as local offices, really worked at getting clients and staff members to have an active role, and this summit is something that's attended by employers and professionals in workforce and other entities statewide that participate, and there was a very clear presence of blind individuals taking registration, giving exhibits about assistive devices, giving people directions where to find workshops, and in the workshops being the monitor to introduce people and to take the evaluations. So a very active role in a number of, well, whenever I would introduce myself to people next to me in a workshop or at a meal, and I would say my name and where I was, they always would comment on the participation of the blind individuals. So that really was positive. We're working with Dr. Schroeder, started out at the administrative level and with supervisors, and then we'll be expanding into working directly with field staff, where he will meet directly with field staff. The aim of all of that is to help us to kind of have that outside perspective to see what things that we can maximize to really focus on achieving high quality full-time employment for our clients. And also as a part of that, Carlos and Bob are meeting with staff, establishing a more effective ongoing communication, finding ways that we can sort of tweak our system. The folks do a really good job with this, but we want to get better. And so finding ways that we can do that is based on that ongoing work and communication. I think a real achievement was the passage of the new certification law for VR counselors for the blind. And Carlos was very active in that. I want to really recognize his work there. That's just really a definite step forward. Wages is in the works. There's been a lot of work involved with getting the job set up, the funding set up, the temporary staff hired. Okay, I'm a third away through my. So there are so many things going on, lots of things. I would like to submit my full report in writing after the fact, and then you all, as well as the public that aren't here, would be able to read these and the additional information. Is that acceptable?
Yeah,
mm-hmm. That sounds fine.
It'll work.
Yeah.
Thank you. Lots and lots going on.
Yeah.
Yes. And even my report doesn't even begin to get everything. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm sorry.
I can't believe that
10 minutes.
Yeah, I thought you were half done. That's what I thought. I was looking at
my hair.
Oh, okay. So do I have 10 more minutes?
So you still have 10 minutes.
Okay. All right. Good. Okay. Find my place again. Thanks, Hubert. Okay, so and wages starts June 17th and will end July 28th. We've completed a new brochure for employers. It's got updated photographs, text, on the features and benefits, the value of employing blind job candidates. And also, we have employer testimonials that are now on the website, as well as the brochures on the website. And so a lot of reaching out to employers, as you can see, in a number of different things that have gone on. Let's see, in the vending area, continuing to work on the refreshing the Braille labels. Terry Harris had a bunch of the usual labels like Coke and Diet Coke, Pepsi, whatever, made up and then distributes those to any of the vendors that need those. We have some new cold food machines that are just a new kind of vending equipment that will be provide better service and decrease costs, especially in the maintenance of those refrigerated machines can be pretty high. So that should be better. We recently got a new but small contract for the pop machines that are in Grand Island in the city county building. And that was the opportunity for that was generated by one of the existing vendors. Actually, a couple of them worked together on that. One of the rest areas, Lincoln Solar I-80 westbound, was closed permanently, and we've put that vending equipment into the Platte River rest area, so trying to move things around where needed. With a little help from the building, but mostly from the BE staff, we've remodeled part of the area that is in the far west part of our space here in Lincoln. That's Don Ward's office, and it's where he keeps the machines. It's pretty much a pretty rough area. It doesn't look like the nice offices the rest of us have. Anyway, they did some remodeling so that there's space and decent office space there for the new clerk, Jan Stokebrand. The vendors committee did have a new election. They hold their election every April-May meeting, which was May 18th. And so they have a new committee, and Howard Simons continues as chair of the vendors committee. There's a new vendor, Mike Holscher, at the North Platte Rest Area. He's doing really excellent work. And one of the major accomplishments really that Val had that I knew I would forget something big in her recent letter, but we recently were informed all staff must take an online defensive driving test on a regular basis. How often are we supposed to do that? I forgot. Every 5 years. We've always been very good at new people do that course, but no one, we didn't know you had to update that. So we had all staff who drive needing to get that done by a certain date. She did a great job of getting information about needing to do it and how to do it and just a lot of technical support. And so we had 100% of people who did complete that in a timely manner. Also, we're working on getting new workstations for staff, staff who've requested new workstations. We pretty much have all the old desks and chairs that we've had since 76 when I started or whenever it was. So that's in the works. We're looking at furniture for the apartments. I just got a note, the refrigerator in the Omaha kitchen is either dead or dying. And of course, our kitchens and our offices are also where we hold our group training, so it's not just convenience for staff. A lot of things like that are in the works. We have a new fax and copier machine in Lincoln that's pretty exciting. It brings faxes in, instead of just turning them into paper, it saves them as an electronic document, and then that is emailed to whoever the fax is supposed to be for. Yeah, it's great. They come in, I think, PDF, but all of them so far that I've received have been able to convert very nicely to Word documents. So that is actually pretty exciting. We, of course, been working with Mississippi State University and the statewide needs assessment project. We've all received quite a bit of information about that in the past quarter. That's in the works and moving nicely. Lincoln office space, we're kind of doing an assessment of the space that's needed and working with building division to see what other office space might be available in Lincoln at other locations. Mm-hmm. So far, nothing to tell you about there, but we're looking at that. Just recently have needed to renew or are renewing all of our office leases and the apartments and working out some negotiations on those things. I have other things to talk about, but they're pretty much all a specific agenda item for later in the meeting. And as always, there are always things that don't get covered because of what all is going on. But those are the main things. Any questions?
This is Val. You're still going to submit your full report.
Yes, it will.
I'll leave that in.
Okay. Thank you very much. The next item is public comment, if there is any.
This is Jamie Forbes.
Yes.
I apologize, Pearl. Could you repeat the independent living services numbers?
Sure, be happy to. 439 served.
Okay.
And this is since October 1. 93 have been successfully closed. And 13 closed unsuccessfully.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, any other public comment?
Just a comment on that new fax machine. One of the things that you can get into when you have a fax machine that's online like that is getting a lot of unsolicited material coming in, and the new machine now would prevent that stuff from being printed and thereby a savings of paper.
Cool.
Definitely.
Okay. So has the lunch arrived?
This is Val. I told them 12:15.
Okay.
Dan, I told them this building also, but they're not here yet.
Okay.
But he's out watching for them.
All right. Okay, so what's your pleasure? Do you want to move along to the next item and then the lunch comes?
Yep, charge right on.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay, the next item is the old business and would be the budget update.
Okay. This budget term went really well. Of course, the development of the biennial budget has been in the works for probably 6 months, and you know, we met all the timelines and had the hearings, as Barbara mentioned, and so on. We requested for 2008, this is the state fiscal year, which starts July 1, 2007, we requested $867,334 of state funds. And we were appropriated that exact amount plus $75,000, which is specific for the older blind project. It's just really, really great to have gotten not only our full request but the additional. Did you have a question?
Additional $75,000?
Yes. Mm. Yes. And I want to acknowledge the members of the National Federation of the Blind of Nebraska for their great work on getting that older blind project to the attention of the senators, but also the work of the staff and consumers to get the full request appropriated. That's really great. For 2009, and traditionally our request, you'll remember, for the first year is never fully funded, and then the second year is usually even less, because you know, and but we request based on what we know expenses will be, which is always more. So our request for 2009 was $892,927. And we were funded that amount plus the $75,000. So it's really, really great. And we also asked for some additional ability for PSL, that's the personal services limitation. That's the amount you're allowed to spend on salaries and such. We needed to be able to have that be a higher level so that we could arrange for these additional, especially the staff. Well, I've already talked about the staffing. So, doesn't change the amount of money, but it changes the amount you're allowed to spend on staffing. and so that was increased as well. In terms of how the budget is going, our expenditures this past quarter are actually up on case services have been increasing. I think some of that is a pattern of the time of year. We have some cyclical things. We tend to spend less in the summer, and you know, this past quarter was just before summer, so that's a piece of it. We have quite a bit of Social Security reimbursement requests submitted that we have not received any actual money for, or, you know, approval of, or the funding. So we're still hopeful that that money will come through.
But we're not spending it before it gets here.
No, we're not spending it.
That's good.
Before it comes. We might count the chickens, but we're not
eating them yet.
What else about budget? About the older blind project, the request was actually for a little over $1 million, and instead we were funded $75,000. What we were told by the senators, senator, was that the committee is wanting us the first year to really kind of do some needs assessment and some building capacity, and looking at the needs statewide of older blind and how that can best be served. So this funding, in a way, of course, they're not guaranteeing they'll give us a lot of money in the future for an older blind project, but if we do a really good job this first year of establishing that need and documenting and setting up some plans for how the need could be met, I think the chances are really quite positive. So that is in the works. Budget-wise, anything else, Carlos or Bob or Fatosh, that you can think of I should?
I think it's just that we are in good shape. We are spending some more money than last year, yet still conservative, and the responses are being good. So that's all I want.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great. I think those are the main things I'd like to say about the budget. I'd be glad to answer any questions.
What's I don't know the exact terminology, the reserve fund?
Well, there's a trust fund, but that, and a cash fund.
I think it's a trust fund. How big is that now?
Okay.
I guess the question is, has any money been expended out of that?
We have spent some, we've done some specific planning. Any of you think of specific? What I'd like to do, Bob, is during lunch, I'll take a look at some of these. I get these big sheets from Bill with all the detail, and they're in literally a font size 2. So it takes me a little time to see it. I'll try to answer those questions after lunch.
Good.
Unless anybody can think of a specific thing. Okay. Maybe, I mean, something like workstations, but I'll look and see. We haven't actually spent that yet. But. Anything else?
Okay, if not, Val has informed me that lunch is here, so we will take our break. I have